All right, we are recording. Modon Ivri, welcome everybody. And hope you're all surviving the heat. Calm in Hebrew, right? Calm. All right, we are ready. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. And we are now starting the story of where Samuel picks a replacement for Saul. And that's kind of where we're at verse 6. And so let me take it up from there. He actually now is in the city where Jesse and his family are. And he's there on the pretext of offering a sacrifice to the Lord. And he is inviting the family to the sacrifice, all right, along with the other elders of the city. So verse 6. Vayehi bevoam vayar et Eliab. Okay, notice how this is very common construction in Hebrew. And it came to pass, vayehi bevoam. Notice, as soon as you see a construction like this, you'll be thinking infinitive construct plus a preposition. That's what it is, a call infinitive construct plus the suffix. In their coming. And by and large, you know, English temporal translation is the best. When they came, okay? And the subject is from the last verse. It's the sons of Jesse. When they came, Vayar, he saw, namely Samuel. So as we get reoriented here, if we were reading through, it would be very clear who's the subject. So came to pass, when they came, comma, he saw, from Ra'ah, et Eliab. Eliab is the oldest son of Jesse. Saw Eliab. Vayomer, and he said, Ach neged Yahweh Meshicho. Certainly or surely before the Lord is his anointed one. In other words, he saw Eliab. Eliab must have been a strapping boy, you know, thick hair, muscles, and said, this has to be his Meshicho. That's what Samuel said. Okay. Vayomer Yahweh El Shemuel, but Yahweh said to Samuel, Al tabet el mar ehu ve'el gevo komato. Okay. Then Yahweh said to Samuel, Al tabet, do not look. What's the root of tabet?
Navat.
Navat, right. And remember, this occurs in the Hiphil. And so this is, do not look at mar ehu. Do not look at his appearance. What's the root of mar ehu? You can see it here. It's from Ra'a. Notice that this is typical. They added the prefix mem to it. It becomes a noun. Mar eh. Do not look at his appearance. Okay. Ve'el or to gevo, to the height komato of his stature. Okay. And koma is simply means stature. And gevo, high or height, to the height of his stature. So do not look to his tall stature, is probably how we'd say it. Ki me'as tihu, for I have rejected him. Notice that this is a simple call from ma'as, for I have rejected him. Ki lo asher yira ha'adam, for not what the man sees. Okay, and then you probably supply some of that. It is not with me as the man, what the man sees. So most English translations say something like, I don't look, see as a man sees, or something like that. Okay, so it's a little kind of compact here in Hebrew. Not what the man sees is what I see. For ha'adam, for the man, yireh, looks la'einayim. Probably with the eyes. In other words, looks at what's outside, looks at the outward stuff. Alright? Va Yahweh, but Yahweh Yireh looks la levav, looks to the heart. Okay, so the meaning kind of is kind of clear, even though the Hebrew, in English, most translations will smooth it out in, you know, way. This is a rather well-known verse, obviously. So Yahweh's not looking at his good looks. Okay. Any questions through verse 7 about grammar, syntax, or anything? Alright. Verse 8. Va yikra yishael avinadav vaya'a virehu lifne shemuel. Then Jesse called to Abinadav Vayaavirehu lifnei, and he made him pass before Samuel. Notice that Yaavirehu is a hiphil from avar. Very common word, avar means to pass over. Here, hiphil, made him pass before Samuel. All right, so it's kind of like a beauty pageant. Number two, American Idol kind of thing. All right, what can you do? What can you give me? Vayomer, and he said, namely God, or Samuel, I guess, and he said, Gambaze lo bachar Yahweh. Also, this one, Yahweh has not chosen. Notice you have bachar with the preposition bait here, and it's very common with bait as the indicator for the accusative. So you would just translate, also this one, Yahweh has not chosen, bachar. Okay. Notice that the accusative, the object, is put forward here before the verb. Kind of gives it a little more emphasis. Okay, verse 9. Vayaaver Yishai Shama. Then Jesse made Shama pass by. Okay. Vayomer. Gam bazelo bachar Yahweh. Also this one, Yahweh has not chosen. Uh-oh, we're down to number 5. So, you know what's happening already. Verse 10. Vayaaver Yishai Shivat Banav. So Jesse made his 7 sons pass by. Notice Shivat is construct form. Again, these numerals can take a number of different forms, absolute or construct, so don't be bothered by that. And we would just translate in English, we kind of use one way to do it. 7 sons. His 7 sons. So Jesse made his 7 sons pass by lifnei Shimuel, before Samuel. Vayomer Shimuel. Then Samuel said to Jesse, Lo bachar Yahweh ba'elah. Yahweh has not chosen these. Okay? Okay, any questions through verse 10? Vayomer Shimuel el Yishai. Then Samuel said to Jesse, Ha tamu ha ne'arim. Okay, notice the, look at the construction, hatamu. Kind of looks really weird, alright? The hey is an interrogative hey. Remember, that can come before verbs or kind of any element. So, given that, what's the root of tamu?
Tamama.
It's a double, it's a call, a double ein verb. Okay, geminate. From tamam, to be complete, to be at an end. So the subject is Hanetarim. So it's kind of are the boys at an end? Namely, is this all you got? And a lot of translations go, is this all the sons you have? See, okay. Vayomer, and he said, Od Shaar Hakaton. He said, yet the youngest remains. Notice how Hebrew uses for the absolute form, just uses a regular form. For the superlative, uses the regular form. The smallest one, Sha'ar, remains. Sha'ar. Okay. Vehine roe bazon. But look, he is tending the sheep. So, roe. Notice roe is just a call participle. This construction, hine plus a participle, we normally translate with progressive form. Look, he's, and that's what the situation seems to be here. Look, he's tending the sheep. Vayomer Shimuel. Then Samuel said, El Yishai, to Jesse, Shilcha. Okay, now look at this form. What it looks odd. What is it? Can anyone parse it?
It's an imperative.
Good. It's an imperative masculine singular. What's odd about it? It has the hey at the end.
You would find yourself.
Right. Notice the normal form we would expect of a call imperative would be Shelach. Right? Shelach, like Keth, Tol. But here, with the head, it would have a patnach under it. Shela, but there's a hey at the end, which indicates, scholars suggest that it indicates action directed in the interest of the speaker, or for the benefit of the speaker. So notice Samuel is speaking for his own benefit. So you have this hey here. It's a simple call imperative masculine singular. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send. Kachenu. Now you can guess what this one is. Another imperative from Lakach, with the third masculine suffix, singular suffix. Send and get him. So we would probably say go and get him. See, go and get him. For not, not so. Okay, for we will not so. We will not turn away. We will not go back. Okay, and notice, look at the footnote for 11b. Okay. 11b. Okay, the targum has the same consonants. What would you say, though, that they're reading this as? It's hard to say, actually, right? See, they seem to be reading it almost as if it is from Yashab, to sit or to dwell. We will sit until he comes here. Okay, and I think that's actually how the Targum reads it. I don't know why they have a psalmic there, though. I'll have to check that a little more closely. We will not return, but the Hebrew text is, we will not return until his coming here. Bo'o, again, infinitive, notice, following that odd, another common construction. We will. So in English, we probably use a finite verb. We will not return until he comes here. Po. Okay, any questions through 11? Verse 12. Va'yishlach, so he sent, va'yevi'ehu, and he brought him. Hiphil from Bo, and he brought him. Okay, now I love this description. Vehu admoni im yefe'einaim v'tovroi. And he was admoni, reddish. We would say, well, ruddy, good complexion, nice red cheeks. Admoni. Okay, notice that's an adjective with the E ending. Okay. Im yefe einaim. Yafe means beautiful. Okay. So beautiful of einaim, of eyes. Notice the dual form. Beautiful of eyes. Notice, with, so we probably say, with a handsome face, with good face, notice he's making a remark about his appearance. Okay. So, God doesn't judge by appearances, but this guy was good looking. He was the Brad Pitt of the ancient world. That's what I imagined when he saw David. Okay. Vetovroi. Again, you have it again, and good of appearance, roi. Okay. Notice again, notice the form of ro-e, that e ending, a lot of, some nouns, a few nouns and adjectives are formed with the e. Again, the gentilics, like Canaanite would be ka'anani, okay? Then you have, just notice this adjective, the reddish one has the e ending. Nokri would be a foreigner, nokri, ragli, a foot soldier, so you have certain words like that. Notice, this is formed from the root ra'a. We had another noun, mar'eh, appearance. If you saw ro'eh with a hey, that's another word for prophet or a seer. Re'i is a mirror. Okay, here you have ro'i, another noun, appearance. So from one root, notice how Hebrew manages to get different nouns and even adjectives. Okay, so there's two different expressions for he was good looking. So he had a great looking face and nice appearance. Ovroi. Translate it any way you want. Alright. Questions through 12. Alright. Vayomer Yahweh. Then Yahweh said, Kum Meshachehu Kizehu. Okay. Then Yahweh said, get up, Kum, imperative. Meshachehu. Another imperative from Mashach. Anoint him. Kizehu. For this is it. This is Devan. Alright? I wonder how Yahweh spoke to him. It's kind of interesting. See, that's just a little fact we don't know. Alright, verse 13. Vayikach Shemuel et Karen Hashemen. Then Samuel took, from Lakach, very common word, took the Karen Hashemen, took the horn of oil. Okay, Vayimshakoto, and he anointed him. Bekerav Echav, in the middle of his brothers. I want you to think about this, because remember last week, how did the elders react when Samuel came into the city. Do you guys remember? In verse 5. Verse 4. No, end of verse 4. They came trembling. Okay, the elders came trembling to meet him and said, "Have you come in peace?" And he actually had to assure them in peace. Now, so notice the kind of power that the people believed Samuel had. Remember, he spoke the word of God. And earlier in the narrative, we saw that they knew he was a prophet because when he said something, it happened. See, his word was powerful, effective. So earlier when he told Saul that God had rejected him, I mean, the people around had to be, oh man, Saul's in real trouble because this is God's word. So here you have this man of God, the guy who speaks God's word, come and anoint your little brother. I mean, just think of what had to be going through their heads. You know, they knew who Samuel was. He had invited him to the feast, this huge honor. I mean, you got to kind of imagine the world around, all right? So he anointed them right in the midst of his brothers. So they all saw this. So they had to be very conflicted. It'd be interesting to talk to interview one after this event. Okay, now notice what happens. Again, the narrative is very concise and we have no idea what this means. Vayitzlach Ruach Yahweh El David. The Spirit of the Lord Tzalacht El David on David. Now, how do you translate Tzalacht? See, some translate was strong on David. Entered forcefully into David. This expression started way back, you know, in the book of Judges with Samson, I think is the first time it's used. Remember when Samson, the Spirit of the Lord, tzalacht on him. And it's usually the preposition al. In throughout Judges, I think it's al. On Samson. And then, remember how it manifests itself in Samson. Well, he tore a lion open, or he tore down the gates of the city, or stuff like that. Remember earlier in the narrative, it tzalacht on Saul, and he prophesied like a prophet. So I don't know how it manifested itself here. So the Spirit was strong, or entered forcefully to David. Mehayom, from, notice this expression, Mehayom hahu vahmala, from hayom, the day to that day, from that day, and now you have this adverb, mahla. This is just the root Allah to go up with a mem in front of it, used adverbially, and thereupon, and upwards. From that day, we would probably say from that day onward. See? So he's making kind of a sweeping statement here. That, yeah. Alright, so notice what happens in connection with the anointing, the Spirit of God he gives. Now, so he does this. Vayakum Shemuel. Then Samuel got up from Kun. Vayelek Haramata. And he went to Ramah. He went back home. Okay, this is done. I guess you got to wait for Yahweh to do something. All right? Good. Any questions through verse 13? All right, very clear cut. A lot of stuff going on here we don't know about. It's just kind of matter of fact. So then Samuel went home. All right. The Lord came on him. What if that happened to you, Bill? You think I'd go home? No. I'd stick around. I want to see what he's going to do. Okay, verse 14. Here you have this kind of event reporting clause. Remember, you have, it's not started with a vav consecutive. It's not vav consecutive. And notice he's kind of summing up. Veruach Yahweh Sarah Me'im Shaul. So the Spirit of the Lord, Sarah, return from Sur, to turn away. Again, a call, third feminine singular, hollow verb Sur. And the subject is Ruach, which is feminine. So the Spirit of the Lord went away from Me'im, from Shaul, from Saul. Okay. Who be'atatu Ruach Ra'ameh Yahweh. And now notice, let's look at the verb first. Be'atatu. The root is ba'at. And what conjugation? Given that the root is ba'at, what conjugation is this? PL. Right. This word occurs in the Nifal, but mostly in the PL. So what's that two form then? at the end of it. You're right, it's a PL.
Because usually it replaces the hay, but that's not a hay.
Okay. Yeah, notice the ruach is the subject. So this is a PL, feminine singular, with a third masculine singular suffix. And you get this weird form. So the root is ba'at. PL plus PL, feminine singular, third masculine singular suffix. A spirit, a ra'ah spirit. See, not the spirit of Elohim, but the ruach ra'ah, an evil spirit, terrified him. Ba'at means to terrify. An evil spirit terrified him. An evil spirit may, from Yahweh, terrify him. Okay? Verse 15. Vayomru Avde Sha'ul Elav. Then the servants of Saul said to him, Kineina Ruach Elohim Ra'ah Meva Yiteka. Look, please look. Kineina. Notice the particle of politeness, subordinate speaking to Saul. Please look. Ruach Elohim, a spirit of God, an evil one, an evil spirit of Yahweh, Meva Yiteka, is terrifying you. Notice that this is a PL participle from the same root, Ba'at. An evil spirit of Yahweh is terrifying you. Okay? Now, verse 16. Yomarna Adonenu. So notice the na, again, a particle of politeness. Please may our Lord speak to Avadeka, your servants. And a better English gloss in this context would probably be, please let our master command your servants. Now I want you to notice how deferential they are being here. They are using the particle of politeness. They don't address Saul as you. They don't say, please command us. They say, please may our Lord command your servants. Why? Well, no, whatever he was doing, they were worried, I would say. So notice how they speak to as deferentially and politely as they could, as you would if you have to address the king, see? So, especially if the king is angry or out of his mind or whatever. Please may our Lord command your servants, Lefaneka, before you, your servants before you. Yevakshu, let them seek. Or may they seek from Bakash, PL, imperfect, masculine plural, let them seek a man, Yodea, participle call, a man who knows Menagain, who knows, and this is the object, who knows how to play music on a kinor, on a harp. Menagain is a PL participle. Okay, so. So let them seek a man who is able to play music, who knows how to play music, is how you translate that Yodea Menagain construction. Who knows how to play music on a kinor. Okay? Now, Vehaya, and it will come to pass, Biyot Aleka Ruach Elohim Ra'ah, it'll come to pass, notice you have the Beit plus the infinitive construct from Haya, temporal. When it comes on you, subject ruach, when the evil spirit of God, hayot, comes aleka upon you, or is upon you, then, negain, he can play music, beyado, with his hand, v'tov lach, and it'll be good for you. Okay? Any questions about that construction, especially the Bityot Aleka Ruach Elohim Ra'ah? Just read it as one construction. The subject is Ruach Elohim Ra'ah of the infinitive construct, which is temporal. Okay? So their advice is to get someone who can play music, and it'll soothe him. Okay. Vayomar Sha'ul. Then Saul said to Abdav, his servant, Re'una Li. Look for me. Please look for me. From Ra'ah. Please look for me, or find for me, an ish, a man, metiv. Okay, what is this? Metiv. We'll end with this verse.
It's good.
It's a hifil parsful from Yatav, to be good, but here to do good. Who does well, lenagain, to play. Now notice this construction. Please seek for me a man who does well, lenagain, to play. In English, how would you put that? Who plays well. Remember, you would make the participle the adverb and make the infinitive the finite verb. So please find a man for me who plays well. And havi otam. And havi otam. And bring him, elav, to me. Havi otam is from bo. Okay. Havi otam is from bo, I'm sorry. Second plural masculine. Kifil. And bring him to me. Alright, and you know what's going to happen here. And we'll stop there and pick that up next week with verse 18. Alright? Yeah, very good.
So now we're back with Saul, and he saw an evil spirit in Saul.
Evidently, the spirit beated and terrified him. So that must have manifested itself in his behavior and his words. I don't know if you've ever seen someone who's mentally ill.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I always picture it like that. When that evil spirit came, it kind of went out of his mind.
But they claim it was from God? I mean,
Well, of course. Everything's from God. That's their worldview. Ours, too. What does it tell you about God? Yeah.
Huh. But
of course, they assume it's from him. They know that he's the one who controls everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I know you don't like to think that way because you have to get God off the hook. That's for another lecture. But the story... this shows you about how God elects, and that is oppressive. So people try to always get around that by getting God off the hook, by domesticating God. But I think this story comes back with that question. See, these people trembled before God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it's when you really realize that this is the kind of God we're dealing with, that for us, the gospel becomes our only hope and grace becomes the grace that it was meant to be. Mm-hmm. Without that, then God either is not a threat or you're plunged into despair, because what can you do? Or you think, I can do something, you know, I'm not like Saul. But God just decided to take it from Saul and give it to David, and this is what's happening. Not only does he just leave Saul alone, he sends him to the spirit.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's something to think about. That's